I'm Veronica Scaresbrick. Thank you for joining me. On January the 18th, 2005, the Pave the Way Foundation was granted a special audience with the now blessed John Paul II in the Vatican's Clementine Hall. On this occasion, some 160 Jewish leaders, rabbis and cantors from throughout the United States, Europe and Israel, the largest group gathering of Jewish leaders ever to meet with a sitting pope, took part in this audience in an effort to thank the Holy Father for all the work he did to reconcile the two faiths. The group was led by the president and founder of the Pave the Way Foundation, Gary Krupp. He shared memories of this emotional meeting, as well as information on the work of his foundation, whose mission it is to bring together men of goodwill. Just listen. So, Gary Krupp, you're the president and founder of the Pave the Way Foundation. As you yourself stated on January the 18th, 2005, when you were granted a special private audience with Pope John Paul II, your mission at Pave the Way is to bring together men of goodwill, no matter what their religious background, and to ruthlessly tear down any wall that stops this from happening. Does that correspond to how you feel?
Yes, absolutely, and certainly in theory, but we take a much more practical step in that we try to identify obstacles between religions and remove them. And we also initiate huge gestures between religions, which we've done between the Vatican and the State of Israel and many other countries, work with many other churches as well, the Greek Orthodox Church and so on.
Let's get to the audience with John Paul II in the Vatican's Clementine Hall. The date was January the 18th, 2005. There was a large group of you. I read that there were some 160 Jewish leaders, rabbis and cantors from across the world, actually.
Around the world, yes. This was an idea that we had because we felt that literally the Roman Catholic Church, not just under the papacy of the Pope John Paul II, but has always made initiatives to other faiths and has returned objects, of religious objects and shrines, and has done wonderful things in reaching out and trying to reconcile relations with other faiths. And it occurred to me that I have never heard, because we're in Rome quite often, and we're involved quite a bit, but we have never heard anybody formally thank the Church or thank the Pope for these actions. And so we tried to get a wonderful audience. We felt that we wanted to have a Jewish audience, and I wrote a letter to then-Archbishop Migliori from the United Nations asking him to formally request an audience. And at that time, if you recall, it was January of 2005, the Holy Father was not well. He had told me privately, he said, you know, I really doubt this is going to be approved. But then all of a sudden we heard through our friend Father Norbert Hoffman that, yes, indeed, the Holy Father has personally interceded to say he wanted this audience. And we were extremely excited. It was marvelous. It was a fantastic event. I read a speech to him, which is all available on our website. You can hear the speech I made to the Pope, and the Pope's very clear speech back to us. He spoke very well, and then insisted on meeting every single person in the room. It's actually 168 people, and gave gifts to every person in the room. It was such an emotional event and such a fantastic adventure. It actually changed the course of the lives of many of these participants who had never been to Rome, really, or had certainly never met a Pope. But this man was such a holy man that it actually impacted the lives of many of these rabbis. One in particular in Israel, Orthodox rabbi, actually was inspired to start in the Orthodox world a institute with Christian Jewish study. And this came after this audience. It was a fantastic thing. It's very hard to describe. And this it was very sad because this was actually the last major audience that John Paul II had. He got the flu about 11 days later, and then we all know the history of his death in April. So it was very, very sad in that regard, but it was very inspiring. And in fact, the most unusual thing is that we actually had three rabbis, an Orthodox, conservative, and Reform rabbi, to bless the Pope. That blessing, you could see that on the website as well, the video of that. It was just a very powerful, very, very powerful event, and the Pope was very emotionally moved by this.
So I'd like to invite people to go to your website. Can you give the address?
Yes, it's pavethewayfoundation.org or ptwf.org.
And then you go to education, is that right?
It's under education, and it's the first item. It's the Jewish thank you to Pope John Paul II. And to be with him on that day and to see his expression when he was blessed by these three popes. This is in Sala Clementina. This is the largest, and the Vatican told us that this was the largest private audience with a sitting pope in history. And they said, this is historic. I said, well, which is even more historic is that we were actually able to get a Reform Orthodox and conservative rabbi in the same room to do the same thing, you know, because we have such division in Judaism. But it was so, and they were doing it to say thank you for all he had done, certainly for the Jewish people and for the state of Israel. It was a marvelous, marvelous event, and one of the highlights of my life. I'll never forget it as long as I live.
Now, I know that if one goes to the website, one finds out what the milestones in that you mention in this speech to the Pope are in terms of Pope John Paul and Christian-Jewish dialogue. But can you mention some of them to our listeners?
Yes, certainly. As I said, we don't really deal at all with interreligious dialogue. We deal in practical problems. For example, we've been involved since 2003 trying to help move the finalization of the fundamental agreements between Israel and the Holy See. We had some very, very wonderful gestures. We were able to initiate the first loan in history from the Vatican to the State of Israel, where they loaned the manuscripts of Maimonides and others to the Israel Museum. We also are responsible for identifying the sale and for identifying a donor for the Roman Catholic Church to acquire the Bodmer Papyrus, one of the most important Christian manuscripts in the world. And this was a huge event that we did in 2007. And this is a very good friend of ours who was the donor, and this is now for the first time in history in the possession of the Vatican Library. It's the Gospels of St. John and St. Luke, with the oldest version of the Lord's Prayer in existence, written in the year 175 A.D., and our friend Frank Hanna from Atlanta, Georgia, is the donor who made this possible, which is a huge, huge psychological and religious event for the Vatican and for us. And to be part of it was such a privilege and very providential, because, you have to say that many of the things that we do, which are so many of which are controversial, but this is being dictated by God, because there's no real reason why many of these things should have succeeded, but they have. And it's put us into a very, very wonderful position of trust. And through that, we have advanced many other projects. One of our, as I said, controversial projects is that we've been working for the last 6 years, revealing on our website as many documents, video eyewitness testimonies, newspaper articles, possible dealing with the papacy of Pope Pius XII. Now, this has remained and has been for the last 46 years a major obstacle, certainly between Jews and Catholics and between Catholics and Catholics.
You mentioned the word controversy. And one of the missions you have specifically focuses on the figure of Pope Pius XII, right?
Exactly. As being Jewish, my wife and myself both grew up hating just hearing his name. And because of providential events, we started just making discoveries, and this was actually began with the placement of a historically, totally historically incorrect placard at the Yad Vashem Memorial. And Archbishop Franco had mentioned this to us, as did Archbishop Sambi, that this was a very, very disturbing thing to the Catholic Church. Would we investigate? And I have to tell you perfectly honest way, I said that my wife and I don't, we said privately, we really don't like this man. We don't like the whole notion he was a Nazi collaborator, he was anti-Semitic, and so on. And then providential events occurred where we started getting revelations of information that completely changed our mind, and in fact have proven the exact opposite, that Pius XII was an extraordinary man at an extraordinary time in history where he was responsible, and this is, we can prove this. Everything I say we can prove through documented findings, and these findings are not just from the Vatican, they're from other countries. They're from the United States and from Holland and from Germany and from all over Europe. We have over 46,000 pages of documents to date, plus multiple eyewitness interviews that prove, as far as I'm concerned, and I'm not a historian or a scholar, but I can tell you I'm also not an idiot, and I can read these things, I could see the spirit in which he made these statements and so on, that this man was a true hero, certainly to the Jewish people during the World War II. There's no question in my mind, And in fact, we've had discussions with this with very, very prominent rabbis. We put together a book. We're now doubling the size of the book based on all new material. We had the book translated to Hebrew. I brought it to Israel. I've shown it to a number of different people, and we have been told by many that, wait a minute, there may be something here. And we have to understand the origins and how all of this occurred, and how did his name get destroyed? Because I'm old enough to remember him. My uncle actually met him twice. My uncle was a Jewish sailor in the Navy, and met him on two separate occasions when he was in Italy in 1948, and always spoke so highly of him, as I remembered that he was held very fondly when he was alive. I remember how everybody spoke of him. And then all of a sudden, in 1964, with the opening of the play The Deputy, the entire world changed. And we came to know that The Deputy was a product of a Soviet attack against the Roman Catholic Church, attack against the personality of Pius XII, and specifically to isolate the Jews from the Catholics. This was the purpose. It was a plan called Seat 12. They rewrote the play. They translated it to 20 languages, strategically placed it around the world. And instantly, the image of Pius XII changed. What we're doing is, all I'm saying to everybody, just look at what we found. Make your own mind up. And I think that anybody with any sort of idea or have any empathy towards what this man had to go through during the worst time in history, what he had to go to, and I imagine the little Dutch boy, the story of the little Dutch boy holding his fingers in the dike, trying to do so many things, and today is hated for it. And this is a great tragedy. This is something that has nothing whatsoever to do with the Roman. And I can tell you only personally, as far as Pave the Way Foundation is concerned, this is our mission. We identify problems and obstacles, and we try to eliminate them. However, as a Jewish man, this is different for me. This has nothing whatsoever to do with the canonization process. It has nothing to do with the Catholic Church. This is a Jewish obligation to bring the world to come to thank the memory of this man, because he was indeed a true hero to the Jewish people when we had very few. And so many instances have occurred around the world during that time, all directly linked to this man's direction, his powerful direction, his determination. And I, you know, based on the fact that the Vatican archives that were open completely in 2003 and then in 2006 by Pope Benedict XVI, and the sad thing is that all of these critics, most of the critics and the institutions that have been so critical of him, have simply not come to Rome to do original research. Our representative in Germany, Dr. Michael Hesseman, has come on regular basis, comes regularly to the Vatican secret archives and studies these manuscripts up to 1939, and the revelations are incredible. It's amazing. And every day we get something else in which proves our point. And I can tell everybody who doubts this, go to your computer, go to the archives of the newspapers in whatever city you're in. In my case, I did it to the New York Times and to the Palestine Post, and study the period between 1939 and 1958, the lifetime of the papacy of Pius XII, and you put in the search engines of Pius XII, Pope, Jews, use this as your query, you will not find one negative article. Not one story. That's only positive stories, and stories where the Pope is condemning the arrest of the Jews in France, and the Pope is condemning Nazism, and on and on and on, hundreds of articles. Something is wrong here. We were fooled. We were collectively fooled, intentionally fooled by a very, very clever group of people from the KGB, which is what we've come to understand through one of the highest-ranking agents ever to defect, who's in the United States, wrote a fantastic story. It's called if you go online, you can see it's Moscow's Assault on the Vatican. It's General Pesepa had written this and told the entire story of how they did. Now, understand, they were very good at this. This is a special disinformation program that they had, and is extremely effective, and they accomplished their purpose. They discredited the Catholic Church, they destroyed the reputation of Pius XII, and they indeed isolated the Jewish people from the Catholics at the very time Nostra Aetate within the Roman Catholic Church changed that impression. The very year. And that schism, this relationship has existed for the last 47 years. It's our project is to reveal documents. That's all. You read the documents, you tell me what they say. I can only tell you what I personally believe in. And I've interviewed, my wife Meredith and I flew to France to interview Monsignor Farofino. We went to London to interview Sir Martin Gilbert, one of the most profound historians in the world in World War II, who is Jewish, and who is 100% said the same thing. He said Pius XII should be thanked, not blamed. Mm-hmm. very simply. We have dozens and dozens of these interviews. We just interviewed Robert Adler, whose father was a mountain climber, Hugo Adler, and he used to guide Jews into Switzerland during the war and was captured by the Nazis. He escapes the train and comes with a Catholic priest, and they make their way to Rome, and he is welcomed into the Vatican for 5 weeks. And his father said he had met Pius XII on several occasions. And then, after 5 weeks, the Vatican sent him through the south of France, into Spain, into Portugal, to the Dominican Republic, which is Monsignor Farofino. We have his testimony of how he helped save up to 11,000 Jews, transferring them into the Dominican Republic, and then from there to South America and North America and so on. So everything fits. It's just astonishing. It's been a difficult thing. I'm attacked all the time, you know, and there are people that don't like what we're doing, but this is something towards truth. We've got a wonderful partner from France who's been hugely helpful to us, and I don't think he'd want me to mention his name, but he's been incredibly helpful to us to help spread this information. And it's very gratifying, but again, it's difficult because, you know, there are a lot of people that don't want to hear this, and they won't even look. The biggest problem is that when you find a critic who won't even look at this.
Well, my thanks there go to the president and founder of the Pave the Way Foundation, Gary Krupp, for sharing with us all this information. I'm Veronica Scaresbrick.